Praise the Lord, this is Pastor Lamo. We're reading through the Bible. We're in the 10th chapter of Romans. And we also have a couple of letters, one from India and one from Africa. And then also I understand that there's a letter from my attorney, Mr. Jim Jackson, who is a tax attorney. And I'm going to hear from those people. And also we have part six of Knowing the Ascension. Now, the Lord wants to rule, reign, and have dominion here on earth, and he doesn't have it. The Lord's Prayer states, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name means that your name, the name of God, is established there. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Okay, so the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, he taught his disciples and us, we are his disciples today, is to pray, Thy kingdom come. So he, in essence, was saying that John the Baptist said, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus said, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And there are several scriptures where they say the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus teaches his disciples to establish the name of God on earth, because unless his name is established on earth, this sphere that we're living in right now, then he cannot rule or reign or have power. Every country has a sphere. Every country has a government, a system. They have a leader, a ruler. Whereby they have a kingdom. Thy kingdom come, and only their will can be done on earth. Their sphere is not the kingdom of heaven. That's God's sphere. But the Lord has sent his disciples going into all the world, telling them, everybody, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So this is what God's will is to... And this is what spiritual warfare is all about, is that we should go and preach the kingdom of heaven is at hand, to establish the kingdom of God here on earth so that God's will be done. Now, if this is God's kingdom here on earth, then his will be done. Amen?
Amen.
On earth as it is in heaven. No one can get their will to be done if they don't reign, if they don't rule. Now, if I reign and rule in my house, then my will is going to be done in that house. If I reign and rule, if my kingdom, my domain is in the church, and I'm the leader of that church, my will, which is the same will as the Father, is going to be done in that church. And anyone that attempts to try to change the will of God that God wants established here on earth, they are not part of that kingdom, and therefore the Lord says, put them out. You can read the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation where he tells John, and John is the same John that wrote Revelations, that wrote the book of John, and also by the Holy Spirit, of course, in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And he says, Thy kingdom come, amen? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So, we are commissioned by the Lord to bring about the kingdom of God here on earth. And again, how can his will be done if he does not, the kingdom of heaven is not at hand? So this never was done throughout the whole entire Old Testament. God's will, Adam had given God's kingdom away, the reign and rule of man, that God had given man, they gave it over to Satan. So Satan is the prince of the power of the air, and he also has dominion here on earth. Now, President Bush is saying that he's a Christian, and I would to God, I just pray to God that he is. And even in pretense, if he's not, we know that he is not a mature Christian if he were a Christian, amen, because he's still using spiritual warfare, carnal warfare. And so I praise and thank the Lord that he's saying, I'm a Christian. And then you see, because he's saying, God's will be done. And he may foolishly believe that it's God's will to do something other than what his word says to do. And it doesn't make any difference whether his mother or dad, or whether he thought he was a homosexual or what when he was a child. And when he was sent into a church that preached against homosexuality and had patience and with that type of a sinner, if he repented, and now he's saying, God's will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. But then Mr. Bush, President Bush, has to learn the Bible, to learn that he cannot exalt the powers that be on this earth, which happens to be Satan, who goes to and fro on earth, seeking whom he may devour, and he's the prince of the air. Well, we know Jesus said that the will of God and the power and dominion of God is in heaven, as it is in heaven. He wants God's will, his power and dominion, and his name to be hallowed here on earth as it is in heaven. Hallowing God's name on earth here certainly does not involve taking it out of the courtroom and taking it out of school and taking it out of off currency and so on. So the people that are doing that, you've got to know that they're not hallowing God's name. Amen? They're trying to get it to where, see, Jesus says we've got to his king. He's praying that and tells us to pray that God's name should be established here on earth and that his will be done. Now, how can God's will be done if he doesn't reign here? Amen? Amen. That's why we have to have the ascension. We have to ascend with God to reign with him. And any time temptation comes to you, or you start leering at some evil thing here on earth, you've got to realize that you have to maintain God's reign over you so that you can maintain God's reign over your house, over your body, over yourself, over the house where you're at, the territory or the turf or wherever you work or in the church or wherever you are. Now, for President Bush, it doesn't make any difference. The people in the White House, there's all kinds of reports that I get that there's some of them, they're bringing homosexuals in there and they're having sexual relationships with boys and they're having sexual relationships with young girls and all these things. But they're so confused because of the fact that Satan has been given dominion and power in this world system here, and they don't know really who they are, but they need to let God's kingdom, his name be hallowed in them, and his power and dominion and authority over them, that God's kingdom doesn't come with observation. The kingdom of God is within. So if these gentlemen that are so confused that they don't know whether they're homosexuals, they don't know if they're child molesters, they don't know if they're what kind of sinners they are, if they're lesbians, these females, they just need to let the kingdom of heaven be established in their hearts so that God can have power and dominion, that his kingdom become in you, that his will be done in you as it is in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Thy kingdom come, Father, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, God cannot reign over somebody or anything that he doesn't have, where his name is not hallowed, where he doesn't have dominion. If you can't walk into another man's church and have power and dominion there because you don't reign there. Amen?
Amen.
I can't here in Hollywood walk into the Hollywood Bowl and start reigning in there and running things and calling the shots over there. I can't walk into the White House and start calling shots over there and telling people what to do because I don't reign there. But in my church, I reign. I have power and authority. So if God had reigned, if he had reigned in the White House, well, then we would see everything clear up in the United States of America. Amen?
Amen.
But it doesn't exist there because the people in the White House have not allowed the kingdom of heaven to be established in them first. The Bible says, again, that the kingdom of heaven at first is within, amen, a person, is within you. So once you let the Lord enter into you, then he gives you the power, his power in you reigns. And his power in you is able to, it gives you spiritual war. Well, that's what spiritual warfare is all about. So in the book of John, John tells you when you see, you measure people up with the word of God, because you want to establish God in this earth. You want to hallow his name, and his name is the word of God. Amen? So you want to hallow it. So he says, people that don't line up with God's word, he says, put them outside with the unbelievers, the Gentiles. Amen?
Amen.
So John wrote that, that by the Holy Spirit in the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation, he says, measure the church. Measure the individuals in the church is what it's talking about. And if they don't line up with the word of God, then that shows that God doesn't rule over them. And therefore, because they don't pay any attention to his authority. They don't pay any attention to his word. He can't rule that person. They're unruly. They're not of the kingdom of heaven. They don't want God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so therefore, they just don't line up. So God says, spoo them out. Get them out of the church. Now, some people say, well, you know, in the book of Acts, Peter heals this beggar. We'd say, you see these church people, they're all dressed up in their finery, and they're going into church, and they'll walk over a beggar, amen? And he says, oh, God, I don't want to touch that flea-bitten person or this man that has lice all over him. But that wasn't, when God's kingdom has come inside your mortal body and his will is being, God's spirit moves on you to say, hey, man says, can you got some a few coins to give me? Peter said, I don't have any money. I can't give you any money because I don't have any. Amen? But one thing that I can do, you first of all, look at me as a point of contact. You know, let's get contacted here together. Now look at me, beggar. Homeless person, person that is totally nothing more than a tremendous candidate for God to show his power in. Amen?
Amen?
Man, if there is anybody for God to show his power in, it's these homeless people, these winos on the street, these bums, a lot of the people that we originally got, the hippies on the street, that's who God sent us after. Nobody wanted them because, well, they weren't mechanics. They didn't have millions of dollars to donate to the church or anything. But, you know, the Word of God, God's Word, was not established in the earth at all, and even in a small way when I got saved. And so we went after the ones that the Lord, that were willing to accept the Lord. We didn't care how much money they had. We didn't care if they had any money at all, and most of them didn't. None of them did, really. And some of them were, I'm sure, we had one case of lice after the other. And the average church would not accept them. We didn't have a church, and we started taking these people. Say, could you take them? We don't have any facilities. We're living out in Zuma Beach. We have a house out there, but we don't have any place to put them. We don't have a church. Tell them to cut their hair. They stink. They got these ripped clothes and everything. They're not acceptable in the church. Susie said, well, I mean, is that all we need is barbershops to cut people's hair and then they'll be right with the Lord? Is that what it is? Or, what they need is just a new suit of clothes? Tell them, no, the Lord healed their heart. They're brothers and sisters in the Lord right now. These people were prime candidates to get saved. They're the ones that the Lord came to this world to save. Now, you self-righteous people, you know that these guys and girls here, they're going to make it into the kingdom of heaven before a self-righteous person would. These people were having sex, free sex and everything, and now they're saved. They've been cleansed, and the kingdom of heaven has reached them. The kingdom of heaven is in them. And through this bunch of hippies, this whole entire world has been evangelized now all over. And where do you think this big Jesus movement came from? It came from that Sue and myself and that bunch of hippies that God called in these last days. And we're still reaching out to people that we consider our prime candidates. And right now, the people that are in public office, like presidents and kings and queens all over the world, these people are prime candidates if you ever saw them. I mean, they're so gone in darkness that they need to come out. And I don't condemn Catholics at all. People try to give the press, tries to get it around that because I'm establishing the kingdom of God here on earth. I'm hallowing God's name on earth. I'm establishing God's name here on earth. And anybody that's saying the name of Jesus is establishing God's name here on earth. Amen? But we have to match what Jesus did so that people will believe that you're really of the Lord. Now, President Bush just needs to start maturing in the Lord if he's a Christian. And we know Christians by what they do, not what they say. Amen? And, of course, he's going to put a stop to all this business of taking the Bible out of schools and allowing evolution to be taught. And we got to get rid of all this darkness and just preach the Word of God and just flood the earth with God's Word so that he has reign and rule and power and dominion over this earth, and that his name and his kingdom has come, and his will be... How can his will be done if he doesn't have this kingdom here? Amen?
Amen.
How can he rule and reign a kingdom that isn't was not willing to let him rule and reign here? Amen?
Amen?
So people talk a big talk, and they say that God wants you to just do what you... Whatever, but that isn't the kingdom of God. His kingdom is under his reign and rule of his word. So these people are saying, well, let's have a good time. Now, God doesn't want us to just be strict and so on and so forth because... But you have to read the Bible. He does want you to strictly observe his rules, to strictly walk in the Spirit, to strictly be reigned and ruled by him. Well, they say, no, God wants you to get the best out of every day. You're only going to live once. And this is the doctrine of the devils. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be under the dominion and power. His will be done. His kingdom come inside of people. His will be done. On our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Let thy name be established throughout the earth, so that his kingdom will be come, that his kingdom is come, so that he can reign and his will be done on earth, right here on earth, as it is in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
So, Father, we ask that you will establish your word, your name, that your name will be hallowed in this world, and that people will not agree to let anyone take your name out of any place. Out of this earth, because the earth is yours. And you're soon to take the whole thing over, and you have established your name is somewhat in this world through your church. Now, the power of Satan and his dominion is taken away from this earth through the church. Throughout history, no one has ever really established your name in the world, because the Jewish people were... did it for a while, and they were rescued out of Egypt, and then all of a sudden they started being evil again. Even after you gave them Canaan land, they wanted to have a king over them rather than you. So a man. So they did not want your kingdom to come. They didn't want you to reign and rule over them. They didn't want your name to be hallowed. They wanted to call on the name of Saul and David and people like that. But Lord, now, after all these years, one time after the other, they failed you. It was disappointing to you that your name, your kingdom had not come on this earth. But now Christ came into the world, and he reigned and ruled and had took power and dominion over Satan. And all of us, the church that are in Christ, we now have a small area, a area in this world where we are now bringing about the kingdom of heaven, and we're destroying the works of Satan through your word. It isn't any power that we have of ourselves. Peter said that when he grabbed the man by the hand and pulled him up and says, in the name of Jesus Christ, let's establish that name firmly in you so that the work of God can be done. Be healed. Hallelujah. And he walked and he jumped and he leaped and he praised the Lord and he walked into the temple and gave glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, to the living God. And the people were amazed. And that brought about and started establishing the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to the church. And now the church in this 2,000 years later is bigger, and it needs to be bigger and more powerful because God wants to rule and reign this earth that he created. And so we have to do that. Lord, let your word sink deep into the ears of the people today. Let it sink in and let them receive this kingdom of God into them so that you have power and dominion and rule and reign, and that they have authority and take the authority that you have given us here on this earth as you originally gave men. But now in Jesus Christ we are more than conquerors to bring about your kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, praise the Lord. If I don't bring any more message today, that is a good thing to always remember. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so now let's read the first letter.
It's from Andhra Pradesh, India. My dear Brother Alamo, hearty greetings to you in the precious name. Brother Alamo, thank you so much for continuing to send me your precious world newsletters and Bibles. I have distributed your world newsletters, and many read it, and they shortly submit their lives to Christ as their personal Savior. Now they are very happy to live in the world. They thank God. They have started praying for you and your wife, your friends, brothers, and co-workers who are with you there. Please try to send some newsletters and Bibles in the Telugu language so that many more people can understand them. It will help them to live spiritually. I hope to have news from you soon. God will bless you and your family. To God be the glory. Yours sincerely, J.P.B. from Andhra Pradesh, India.
All right, and the next letter?
From Ghana, Africa.
All right.
Dear sir, I am glad to write you this letter. How are you? I hope everything is moving on successfully. Sir, the reason why I am writing you this letter is that I am a boy of 18 years, and I was a bad boy. I used to drink, smoke, and steal. I wanted to stop, but couldn't because my family was poor, so when I stole, then I got money to give to them to buy food to eat. One day, a friend of mine gave me a book to read because it talks about the Word of God. I collected it and read it. As I was reading it, it taught me the Word of God, the Bible, and it talked about sin. So when I was reading it, I read the last page where there was written a prayer. When I continued reading the prayer, something touched my heart. I cried and cried, for what I was doing was not good, so I have changed to become a Christian. So please, Pastor Lamo, I beg you in the name of God to help me become a pastor like you, to learn the way you teach the Word of God, so that if God calls you, I will teach the way you do. So please, I will be glad if you will help me to stay with you and learn from you. I will do what you ask of me. I would like to end here. I pray that God helps you live life and reach hundreds. God bless your ministry. God bless you and your family. Amen. Your son in Christ, E.O. from Ghana, Africa.
So he read one of the pieces of literature that I've written, and he got saved. And definitely... we can see that the kingdom of heaven is established in his heart. Amen?
Amen.
Within. Now, the average person may not see that, but they will see his actions. And that's why I'm saying to President Bush, start reading the Bible and start listening to my tapes. And all you people in the administration, God gives you the power to straighten out your lives. And God can, if he can straighten your lives out, he can straighten anybody out. People are in no more darkness than I was before I got saved. I was really deep in darkness, and God can pull you right up and out of it. And you already are mentioning the name of Jesus, so why don't you go all the way and just let the Lord establish himself in you, have power and dominion. Don't be afraid of anything or anybody. And if you need any counsel, I'll be glad to counsel you, whether privately by phone, or you can invite me over to wherever you are, or you can come to wherever I am. I'll be more than happy. I've counseled a lot of people, and if you like, it'll be strictly confidential. How's that? All right, now, we also have a letter here from my attorney, I hear. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, it's Jim Jackson.
Yes.
Okay, let's hear it.
It's an email. It says, "Beautiful, beautiful gospel and beautiful website. Thanks for the Susan remembrance. The tsunami leaves no doubt as to the veracity of your recent writing. God have mercy. I pray this note finds you in best health. God strengthen you, for the future holds much more of the same. He will get the people's attention in spite of the interference of Satan and their own love of sin. Like they say, quote, you are the man, end quote. And we need you very much. God bless you and yours. Say hi to the brothers for me. Thank you, Jim."
Oh, praise the Lord. All right, that's wonderful. Well, it's nice to have an attorney. He doesn't belong to our church. He belongs to another large denomination. And we love them all. And they love our church as well. Now, let's go into Romans 10 now, Sharon.
King James Version, verse 1. "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Verse 2. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge."
Okay, now, keep going.
Verse 3, "For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God."
No, they're unruly, and they need to just, if they want to accept God, God is not just one faction. He has three levels of himself, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. The Father, the Son, the Word of God, the Messiah, and the Holy Spirit. And the Lord wants to enter into these Jewish people, because it was through the Jews that Christ came into the world in the first place, and it was the Jews that wrote the oracles of God, and so therefore God and God, they're God's chosen people. And so because they rejected the Lord, Messiah, and they just don't read the scriptures, and they have no blood sacrifice, they need them to get the blood of Jesus over them so that their sins will be forgiven. And they need to be resurrected from the dead way that they do things, so that they can be ascended with the Lord Jesus Christ on high, so that they can reign and rule with him, and so that the Christ can reign and rule in them from heaven by the Holy Spirit in them. Okay, now let's go to the translation all the way through, because the Lord, that's the way the Lord's dealing.
Okay. Translation, verse 1.
Mm-hmm.
"Dear brothers and sisters, the longing of my heart and my prayer to God is that the Jewish people might be saved. Verse 2. I know what enthusiasm they have for God, but it is misdirected zeal. Verse 3.
Yeah, if you don't have Christ with the Father by the Spirit in you, but then everything that you're doing is in vain. I see some of those people in Israel walking down the streets with the Bible in their hands and just smiling, and they're lost. And they need to read the Old Testament, where it tells of the hundreds of prophecies of Christ, and it's so evident how Christ fulfilled them all. They need to order my Messiah book that tells of all the hundreds of prophecies of the first coming of Christ. And I've got it in Hebrew and English and many different languages. So just if anyone would like to have a copy of it, I've got it in Chinese, Japanese, you name it, Italian, French. So write or call, and we'll give you one, or as many as you need. Then what?
Verse 3. "For they don't understand God's way of making people right with himself. Instead, they are clinging to their own way of getting right with God by trying to keep the law without having the power of God in them first. They won't go along with God's way." verse 4, for Christ has accomplished the whole purpose of the law. All who believe in him are made right with God.
The purpose of the law is to show that God reigns over you. The purpose of Christ coming into your heart and into your soul with the Father by the Spirit is to show the world that God's kingdom has arrived in you and that you are controlled by the Holy Spirit, that his kingdom it has come, and that his will is being done in you on earth as it is in heaven, and that you are establishing his name on earth. You're hallowing his name. Okay, then what?
Salvation is for everyone who believes, the whole word, that is. Verse 5. For Moses wrote that the law's way of making a person right with God requires obedience to all of his commandments. Verse 6. But the way of getting right with God through faith says you don't need to go to heaven to find Christ and bring him down to help you.
No, because the kingdom of heaven comes into you here while you're on earth. And eternal life enters you while you're here on earth if you'll only allow God's kingdom to come and his will to be done in you as it is in heaven. And he gives you the power to do it. And so that you can hallow his name, so that people can see that his reign has come, his kingdom has come in you, and his power and dominion is over you. And then that's what draws people to God, is not the good deeds that you do, like the Jews, like they'll feed you, and that's nice. But those deeds are like filthy rags when it comes to being saved, having the power of God in you. Don't eliminate the power of the kingdom of God in you just because anyone can do good deeds. And it isn't that God doesn't want you to do good deeds, but he wants you to have the kingdom of God established in you. So if that happens, you'll be doing good deeds, all right, because the Lord will compel you to do it. And it won't be something that you're trying to do to impress people. You'll be giving the glory to God and establishing his name on earth as it is in heaven. You'll be hallowing his name. Okay? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, then what?
Verse 7. And it says, you don't need to go to the place of the dead to bring Christ back to life again. Verse 8. Salvation that comes from trusting Christ, which is the message we preach, is already within easy reach. In fact, the scriptures say, the message is close at hand. It is on your lips and in your heart.
And yeah, the kingdom of heaven is in your heart if you're really born again. Then what? And his will is being done in you. Then what?
Verse 9. For if you confess with your mouth that Jesus, the word of God, is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Verse 10. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by confessing with your mouth that you are saved, bracket, because you believe the whole word of God, end bracket. Verse 11.
Yeah. When you believe the whole word of God, you're doing what he says because he's in you, and the kingdom of heaven is in you, and more of the kingdom of heaven is branched out throughout the world, so that his kingdom is being established here. And God is using his church to do that, his body. That there's no other way for God to reign on earth but through his church, the members of his church. And that's why we must be sitting in an ascended position with him, because we couldn't possibly reign unless we were sitting in a reigning position, a ruling position, the power position above. He is dispensing out his power into us to give glory to God that he is, in fact, reigning more and more, not completely yet, but for everyone that will do this with him, you'll have a place in the kingdom of heaven forever. Then what?
Verse 11, as the scriptures tell us, anyone who believes in him, bracket the whole word of God, and bracket, will not be disappointed. Verse 12, Jew and Gentile are the same in this respect. They all have the same Lord who generously gives his riches to all who ask for them. Verse 13, For anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Verse 14. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? Verse 15.
Now, how can the kingdom of heaven be established in this world if you're not at first being ruled and given unless you've received God's dominion and power over you and authority over you? How can you show that God has his authority over you, and that they should if the authority of God is not over you? How can you compel people to do something that you're not doing? Amen?
Amen.
You have to prove, you're not really proving it, but you're demonstrating that God's kingdom is established in you, and then they can see the power you have because you've received God's power and authority over you and dominion, and therefore you have dominion, power, and authority. And you can dispense that to others and be part of establishing the kingdom of heaven on earth and establishing the name of God on earth, because this earth must be stamped with the word of God because it belongs to him. It has to be, it's his, and he wants it to be identified as his. All right? You can't be wishy-washy in that respect. We are to reign and rule. We have authority and dominion over it all. All right, now if these leaders in the secular communities want to really have dominion and authority and power over themselves, then let God rule over you, and invite the kingdom of God into you. Christ, and invite him with the Father by the Spirit in you. That is the kingdom of God. Then what else?
And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent?
Yeah, you can't be sent. You can't go and do it on your own. You can't win a soul. You must let this kingdom be established in you, and then God will send you. You don't have to get anxious about that. You don't have to worry about, will I be a pastor or a preacher or a teacher? Let God give you the position that he wants to give you. And don't desire anything except to be right with the Lord and to be putty in his hands, just to do whatever he wants to do with you. Because then a great and mighty work will be done, just like it was in this beggar man. Everybody in the world is a prime candidate to be to show the wonder and the power and the glory of God. Amen?
Amen.
Because everybody's in darkness except a handful of us. Okay, then what?
That is what the scriptures mean when they say, quote, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news, exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 16, but not everyone welcomes the good news of God. For Isaiah the prophet said, quote, Lord, who has believed our message, bracket our report, end bracket, unquote.
And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Is the arm, is the strength, the power of God, which is the arm of the Lord, been revealed to you? Let his power, the arm of the Lord, be revealed unto you through his word, and let his power live in you. Let him resurrect you. Let the kingdom of God come in. Become part of us. Become part of the living God. And let him show you how marvelous, how wonderful, how great it is to be victorious and full of power, wisdom, power, dominion, and how wonderful it is to reign and rule for the Lord, through the Lord also. Then what?
Verse 17, yet faith comes from listening to this message of good news, the good news about Christ. Verse 18, but what about the Jews? Have they actually heard the message? Yes, they have. Quote, the message of God's creation has gone out to everyone, and its words to all the world, unquote. Verse 19, but did the people of Israel really understand? Yes, they did, for even in the time of Moses, God had said, quote, I will arouse your jealousy by blessing other nations. I will make you angry by blessing the foolish Gentiles, unquote. Verse 20, and later Isaiah spoke boldly for God, quote, I was found by a people who were not looking for me. I showed myself to those who were not asking for me, unquote. Verse 21, but regarding Israel, God said, quote, all day long I opened my arms to them, but they kept disobeying me and arguing with me.
In other words, when they're disobeying God, he doesn't have rule or reign over them. Amen?
Amen.
So when the Jews all disobeyed God and wouldn't do what he said, well, then he didn't have rule and reign over them, and then Satan had rule and reign over them. And they lost their position. They lost God. We want a king like the Gentiles. What for? Unbelievable. They don't want to let God, his kingdom be established here, his dominion. They don't want to hallow his name. We must establish his name everywhere on this earth. Stamp his name over everything by the preaching of the word, and get his word out to these lost souls. Okay, then what?
Commentary.
All right, so that was the 21 verses of Romans 10, and now I have some commentary.
10 verse 3. God's righteousness that is right standing with him comes through faith in Christ alone. 10 verse 4.
In other words, comes by faith in the word of God, because Christ, again, is the word of God. Okay, then what?
Some interpret Christ to be the end of the law in the sense that he is the goal or fulfilling of the law. However, law here refers to the system of earning righteousness in one's own strength. And no one had ever kept the entire law of God without the presence of Christ.
Right, so you can't earn, no one can keep. Okay, then go ahead.
Therefore, we cannot boast if Christ is the one giving us the power to keep the law. Christ indeed is the one who gives us the perfect ability to fulfill everything in the law, because Christ perfectly fulfills everything the law requires. And when he's in us, we are able to do that as well. So he also said, he did not come to put an end to the law, or do away with the law, or destroy the law. But we cannot achieve, without him, righteousness and the power to keep the law.
And what good is righteousness if it isn't righteousness that God, to show God's glory through just mere human beings made out of just dirt of the ground? If God, people see that we're powerful, they wonder how, and we tell them it's the power of God living in us, and then that is the righteousness of God when we say, give all the glory to God. Amen?
Amen.
People just say, well, I'm righteous. Self-righteousness is of no value. We're here to give glory to God, to bring about his kingdom, his glory, hallowing his name, not yours, not mine, not anybody else's. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Everyone who believes this fact, that we're able to keep the law and by Christ's power can and will be saved. So Christ in us gives us the perfect ability to fulfill everything that the law demands or requires, so that we can become, because of Christ in us, the righteousness of God.
In other words, doing the right, the right thing that God says is right, so that we can show that we're obeying him. Not to give us glory or to say that we're righteousness in our own self, but to give glory to God. Then what?
Fulfilling the law demands Christ in us to terminate our old man, to resurrect us into his power and ascension in the heavenly places.
With him, by the Spirit, we're still here on earth, all right, and we say, well, the people say, you're doing a great work. Oh, gosh, you're just wonderful. You're the man and all this kind of stuff. But, no, the man Christ Jesus in us is the man. Amen?
Amen.
He's the man. And we couldn't do any of these things if it wasn't him. And so all the glory be to God. God be the glory. To God be the glory. Okay? A friend of mine wrote that song. He came to my house one night and asked if I'd sing it. I mean, I sing it in the church all the time. It'll probably record it. All right. And then what else? Andre Crouch. Okay, then what else?
So the scripture doesn't mean at all that a Christian can ignore God's moral law or his commandments.
Absolutely not. We're to show that God's power and dominion is over us, and that his the kingdom of heaven is in us, and that the power of God is in us. And how could we give God any glory if we were sinning? What a stupid thing for anyone to think or believe or to do. Then what else?
It just means that we are able to keep all of them and more than able to, because we're more than conquerors and we can do all things in Christ Jesus.
Right. All that he wants to do in us, he's in us, and he's the one doing it, because we're mortified. We don't live the way we want to anymore. We live, of course, now we're living the way we want to, but the way we couldn't before. We're living according to the will of God. His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And it just rejoices us that we can see his will being done in and through us. It's not us, but it's him in us. And it's just, it's marvelous. I mean, you should, you must try it, okay? Do it. You'll see that you're able to do it. Then what else?
10 verse 6 through 8. Paul asserts the righteousness of faith, and if we have faith in the entire Word of God, which is Christ, we're saved because we're doing everything he says.
Yeah, because we're letting the kingdom of heaven be established on earth in us and through us, and we're hallowing his name. Then what?
A lot of false teachers are saying that God does not now demand human merit or effort after we're saved.
No, it was not human effort. Even though it's not human effort, it's still we are to, he said, be yoked with him because his work is easy and light. He needs a body to work in and live in, and if we yield our bodies to him, it is we doing it together, but you know, of course it's all him, his power. But we're like the vehicle. Then what else?
No human effort and merit cannot save our souls, but after we're saved, we must take up the cross, that's effort, and we must deny ourselves, that's effort, and we must follow Christ, that's effort, and we must read the whole Word of God, that is effort. We must turn away from sin, that is effort, and in order to merit eternal life, we must continue on doing these things till the end, that is effort. And if we do so, then we merit eternal life. And these people are teaching that Christ has already achieved all that is necessary for our salvation. This is true, but he wants to continue representing himself in us, so that we too are representing him in this world with him, and therefore that is effort. And if we do this, then we merit eternal life. But these false teachers are...
And if we don't do it, then we're not being reigned by him. His will is not being done on earth as it is in heaven. His prayer is, thy will be done, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. So how can his will be done if he isn't reigning in us? And if he's reigning in us, we're certainly not sinning. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
But these false teachers are teaching that we can just sit idle and not use any of our effort to obey all these commandments. 10 verse 9 through 10. Oral confession declares, confirms, and seals the belief in the heart. 10 verse 15. The gospel is universal in its application, demands a universal proclamation, and a universal obedience. 10 verse 16 through 21. Israel can plead neither ignorance of the gospel, verses 16 through 18, nor that God has been unjust with them, verses 19 through 21. 10 verse 17. In God's ordinary means of operating, people cannot be saved unless they either read the Bible or have someone tell them of the gospel message, or unless they have had a supernatural experience, as I have and the Apostle Paul and several others like Moses and Jeremiah, where the Lord comes down to you and tells you. And then you still have to read the Bible and then hear the gospel in order for the life of God to be increased to the fullness of the stature of Christ in you. It is the Word of God the Holy Spirit uses to awaken a response of faith within us. So the Word of God can come from God because God can speak and get us vitally interested in reading His Word. And it is the reliability of the Word of God on which we rest our faith for salvation. And resting our faith means, if we really have faith, we'll show people that we have faith by our works, as the Apostle James stated.
By his reigning over us. And you know, when the Lord is reigning and ruling over you, when the kingdom is established in you, you don't really, you're not making mistakes. And they see every move you make is extremely resourceful. And they'll notice that you're so resourceful and that you've got all the answers, because God has all the answers. And when you're hooked with Him, when you're hooked up with Him, you've got all the answers. And people marvel, like the Psalmist David says, I'm a wonder to everybody, but he then went on to extol the Father because he said that he knows that all his power and his wisdom and knowledge and understanding comes from him. Okay, then what?
If we really have faith, we'll show people that we have faith by our works, as the Apostle James stated.
By our obedience to the Lord's reign over us. Then what?
And as it states in every chapter where Paul said we die daily. It's not just for those, we're one body. It can't be that we can serve the Lord by saying, well, that was for them, and they have nothing to do with us, and we have nothing to do with them.
Oh, yes, we do. We're all one huge body of believers. And those of us, Susie used to say, we're the mop-up crew. We're the actual feet and toes and toenails of the body of Christ. We're the last ones. And so those of us that we need to get busy, let the kingdom of heaven be established in us, and let's get to rolling. Let's get it established. Okay, then what?
We have to live the same life. If the same Spirit of God that was in Christ that raised Him from the dead is in us, then we also shall be raised from the dead on the last day. The words of Scripture are the words of eternal life. The words of Scripture are, in fact, God. The words of Scripture, therefore, are the Lord Jesus Christ, because He tells us that He is the Almighty. See James chapter 1, verse 18, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. This is why preaching the gospel and doing the will of the Lord, the word of the Lord, is absolutely necessary. See verse 14.
All right, now, so that now we go into part 6 of knowing who you are. Knowing that you're the body of God, knowing that you're in a reigning, ruling, dominion position with the Lord. He wants His kingdom established here, and we're sitting with Him in heavenly places, listening to Him to see what shots He wants to, what moves He wants today through us, each individual. So let's start reading.
Knowing the Ascension, Part 6. Many Christians today are tremendously concerned with the problem of power. But the Lord has saved us not only to the state of possessing power, but also the place of having authority. Those in the heavenly realm not only have power, but they also have authority. Those who have power can only cause others to be moved, but those with authority can cause others not only to be moved, but also to be reverent and fearful. For example, consider some brothers and sisters who love the world and live accordingly to the flesh. When they see brothers or sisters loving the Lord, seeking Him, and living in the Spirit, they admire them very much and are moved. This is a matter of power. But if they meet other brothers or sisters who are living in the realm of ascension, sitting with Christ in heavenly places, they feel not only a certain power which causes them to be moved, but also a certain phenomenon which causes them to be reverent and fearful. With such brothers and sisters, there is the heavenly reality. Therefore, they are also full of heavenly authority. Therefore, while they are walking among the people on earth, they bring with them a certain fearsomeness which causes others to be reverent. When you read of Song of Solomon in the Old Testament, you will be able to see that the one who is seeking the Lord grows and grows in life to such an extent that her expression is exceedingly noble and awesome. Song of Songs, chapter 6, verse 10 says, quote, "Who is she that looketh forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, terrible as an army with banners," unquote. Here the morning light, the moon, and the sun are all things in the heavens. Therefore, by this time, the condition of this one is altogether heavenly. In other words, her experience of eternal life has reached the realm of ascension. Thus, her condition gives others the feeling of fearfulness. This is because she is in the position of ascension and has the heavenly authority. It is this authority which causes others to be fearful and filled with reverence.
All right. Praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo, and that was chapter 10 of Romans. And also you've heard the three letters and part 6 of knowing who you are, knowing the ascension, the reigning power, the authoritative power. And until tomorrow, where we'll be doing chapter 11 in Romans, God willing, and also part 7 of knowing the ascension, and we'll have more letters for you at that time. Reign for the Lord. Let His, if His kingdom is firmly established in you, then let's be about establishing it in others. Be sensitive to the Spirit today. Let the Lord lead, guide, and direct you to whom He will. Pray before you go out today to see what direction He'd like you to go to, and give you the boldness. And you know, Satan is very bold to say, "We want this word of God out of here. Don't you mention the name of God." We have to be just as bold to say, "Don't you dare say anything like that. God created this earth, and you wouldn't even have one breath of air if it wasn't for Him." We're going to fight you tooth and nail to get this word established into the hearts of everyone, and you for sure are not of the kingdom of God. You need to repent and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, or whatever the Lord leads you to say to Him, so that they can know that you have the authority and God's power and dominion over you, so that they will respect it and pay attention to what you're saying and think twice about uttering those words to you that we're going to take the word of God, the name of God, out of courts, the courtrooms, and out of school, and that we're going to establish the word of God everywhere. So meditate on ruling for the Lord today, and do that every day. Meditate on hallowing His name, in other words, establishing His name here on earth, and getting His will done on earth today. And if we live again tomorrow, well, same thing tomorrow. In Jesus' name, this is Pastor Tony Loma saying, praise the Lord, and see you. You'll hear from me tomorrow. God bless you.